welcome to our third podcast of Email Marketing with ListTrack. I'm your host, Brent Schroyer, and with me again today is Ross Kramer, President and Chief Evangelist for ListTrack. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Brent. How's it going?
All right. We also have a special guest with us here today, Peter McDonald from ReturnPath. How you doing, Peter?
Good. Fine. How are you?
And we're going to be talking to Peter a little bit later about ReturnPath and the services that they can offer. But first off, we're going to start off with some news. And the first news article we have here, Google announced this week that Gmail will not be supporting Goodmail. For those of you who don't know, Goodmail is a system that has been proposed to add a charge to each email to assure delivery into the end user's inbox. There are definitely some strong opinions on both sides as to whether or not this would be a good thing for the industry. At this point, it seems as if AOL is increasingly looking like the lone supporter now that Google has officially taken a stance. Yahoo has said that their support for the system would be restricted to transactional emails only. What are your thoughts on Goodmail, guys?
Well, I think that they've surely gotten a lot of press lately, and I think that possibly the Gmail guys want to distance themselves from some of the heat that's been going around there. So that could have one thing to do with it. It's interesting that Yahoo's stance is that they're just going to be certifying transactional emails, that actual outbound commercial email they won't be certifying or accepting. So I don't know, Peter, you have an opinion on what's happening here with Gmail and Goodmail?
Well, sure. It's been a model that's been out there for quite some time, and while I think it's fair to say that it may be considered to be a competitor to Bond Center or CenterScore Certified, as we now call it. I want to make sure that my comments are more in line with the model and not necessarily as a competitor. Primarily, we've always believed, at least on the ReturnPath side, that your inbox deliverability should be earned and not necessarily something that you can organically achieve as opposed to trying to pay for access into that inbox. And we've tried to build our programs around that. The Goodmail model has run into a lot of difficulty primarily by having that charge for inbox deliverability, and I think it's kind of having some very strong feedback from marketers that looked at that to be a problem, both not in just deliverability to AOL, but how does that scale? How does that go across multiple ISPs, and how do you implement a model like that? So I think the debate is healthy and good to vet those kind of offers when they come out, it's interesting to see. From my perspective here in the space, and we'll see how it all kind of pans out for everybody.
Yeah, and I think one of the neat things with email marketing over the past couple of years is, you know, you're seeing the success of the major brand names across the country, national names, but you also have the mom and pop shops, the small businesses, and the medium businesses, and something like this, it's kind of geared more towards the guys with the money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think that probably segues to our second news item.
This weekend, Verizon DSL's spam filter encountered what they labeled as a bug that blocked email coming in from email providers, including Roadrunner and Gmail. Also recently, AOL blocked the delivery of emails containing DearAOL.com, a site that criticizes AOL for its support of Goodmail. So with all these bugs and glitches occurring, you could make the argument in support of a system like Goodmail to pay for the guarantee of delivery or something of the sort.
I think what's going to be the most interesting development of a lot of the different discussions that are happening is really based around reputation systems. And the ReturnPath guys definitely have their finger on the pulse of the reputation systems. And I think that's something that we're going to be talking to Peter a little bit about in a few minutes. But I think that reputation systems really need to be put in place because we're just seeing that the filters that are currently in place today are not doing an adequate job.
Peter, you have anything to say on that?
Not necessarily nothing to add outside of the fact that particular problem isn't necessarily new, in that far too often there'll be overexcitement or over-jealous network administrator that will crank those filters because, basically, from the ISP's perspective, they're at the end of a fire hose when it comes to inbound email and the amount of spam that they have to filter. And it's not too uncommon for them to actually filter those campaigns that come from their own network. It has happened before, and it leads to some of the difficulties that the network administrator and ISP has to deal with when it comes to false positives. You're doing your best to try to keep email as a viable medium for your subscribers, trying to block the amount of spam that they get. At the same time, unfortunately, you introduce a lot of false positives in that process when you do content-based analysis. The reputation stuff that we're talking about kind of leads into that, where we're kind of moving from a world of blacklists and whitelists to more of what's been your overall deliverability or reputation coming from a given IP. And we can talk about that a little bit more in later. But in essence, just to put a little bit of perspective on that, I've heard of this problem before, and it's a little bit of embarrassing from the ISP's perspective. But the ISP network administrator that's there has to do what they have to do. And unfortunately, it can cause collateral damage, not just for marketers, but for themselves as well.
Well said.
And the final news item I have here, and a little bit of a lighter side, I'm sure almost everyone out there has gotten the email from the Nigerian prince or the lawyer asking for money to be sent. Looks like some of these guys were actually busted. Three defendants named in the 11-count indictment, two of whom are Nigerian citizens residing in the Netherlands. But what's really interesting here is some of the names,
the aliases
that these guys went by. We got like AKA Yellow Man.
My favorite, Brent, is AKA Jigga Man.
Nemo. We got all kinds of stuff in here. But it sounds like these guys were caught. But the victims involved here lost more than $1.2 million.
I think that's the real seriousness of the nature, Brent, was that actual real citizens out there across the world have paid these guys over $1.2 million, which is really a shock to me. Which was quite a shock. So who knows? Maybe Jigga Man was a lot smarter than we give him credit for.
That's classic.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to move on to the interview portion here. And we're question and answer with Peter McDonald from Return Path.
So, Peter, thanks again for joining us here in the ListTrack offices. It's really been a great experience for both myself and Brent to see some of the tools that you guys have within your suite of delivery assurance products. Wanted to ask you to give a little bit more in-depth dialogue to some of the guys that are listening at home that are deeply entrenched in the email marketing space. What types of value can you guys provide to mailers who are really trying to assure delivery into the inbox?
Well, sure. Happy to. Far too often ReturnPath gets confused as an ESP, which we are not. We actually provide services to ESPs and mailers in to help their deliverability as well as help improve their overall mailing practices. Probably the best way to describe is that we've got about seven different core products that your customers may or may not be aware of. Obviously, we're known for our deliverability measurement tools, which would be our Delivery Assurance Monitor, or which we're now going through a name change here with CenderScore Monitor. Those tools have been out there for quite some time. In fact, ReturnPath is one of the original vendors in that space. We also focus on deliverability improvement, and we do that through the CenderScore Certified program, which was formerly the Bonded Sender program. Again, sorry for all these name changes. This has just occurred last week, so it's probably best to use the proper name now as opposed to going back to the older names. We also are working and have been working for quite some time on reputation management and reputation management systems. We actually just recently introduced a product called CenderScore, which actually looks at 60 different data points to determine the reputation or the overall quality of a mailer, getting data primarily from some 45 million mailboxes with ISP partners that we have internationally, in order to provide a feedback or give you some kind of indication of or a picture of the way the ISP community views you in your outbound mailing. You know, far too often we're looking at bounce rates and open rates, and we really don't get the perspective of what does the ISP see. And those are very important factors in order to determining if you're going to get blocked or not going to get blocked. And so CenderScore, which is relatively new, is a very revolutionary product in that space. A lot of ISPs are now starting to base their filtering decisions based on reputation. which gets us away from that problem that you talked about early off the top here in terms of content-based analysis of email and blocking. Obviously, if they were using a reputation management system, they wouldn't be blocking their own IPs, but it can happen, and that's some of the problems with content-based analysis or spam filters in that regard. We also have a variety of other things that are available to our mailers. We have some list quality solutions where we have an email change of address, the ability to kind of recapture those addresses that have been lost because your subscribers have moved on to other email addresses. We have ways to recapture those. We have some list hygiene services that can go in and clean up your list to make sure that we can remove some of those trap addresses or bad addressing that gets in there and causes bounces, as well as difficulties with which affects your overall deliverability. We have some list growth in terms of lead gen, and under our Postmaster Direct list rental business, we have a very clean list that we allow and we feel is a proper way to do list growth and lead gen. And finally, I would wrap up that we have a very robust strategic services team that can really go in and solve or work with any particular mailer on just about any particular problem they may have. We have mailers with need some help on content and content arrangement, have a problem with open rates and don't know why, having a problem with trap addresses or high complaint rates, we can go in and solve those things. Trying to obviously bring in a lot here in a very short period of time, but those are the core things that ReturnPath works on. Probably we're most noted for our delivery assurance and other products, but there's a wealth there.
Peter, one of the coolest pieces of technology that I saw from your product, and as somebody that sees tens of thousands of campaigns per month, was your campaign preview tool, which one of the things that we see and some of the challenges that we see with some of the campaigns that come through the ListTrak system is that our marketers want to use cascading style sheets and really want to push the envelope of some of the technology and some of the HTML and front-end technology that's out there. And what they find is a mishmash, so to speak, of different renderings that are happening, be it at MSN, at Yahoo, at Hotmail, depending upon how they're treating that CSS. So Your campaign preview feature gives, I want to say, snapshot of 9 or so different ISPs, AOL. There was a one for Lotus Notes in there. Mm-hmm. Right. Hotmail and MSN, Yahoo were in there. So it was a nice spread that you can see all of them in one shot. And we were even playing around with showing Lotus Notes on one side of the page and Outlook 2003 on the other side of the page to compare and contrast what those different campaigns rendered as through those different clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We're very proud of that tool. It does one of the hardest things to determine is that how is that code going to look once you create it at those various ISPs, and how is your subscriber going to see that? It's very important to know that if you're trying to get content above or below the fold, and so a subscriber can make a decision on if they're going to open, if they're going to actually get into that email, is to actually see how that's going to render. And the tool is actually fairly robust in that we actually give you an image of what that will look like with a indication as to where those images will fall above and below the fold. So you can make those very important content-based decisions based on what your actual customers are seeing or your subscribers are seeing. Further on in that tool is the ability to actually drill into that content, look for link integrity to make sure that the links that are in that code, they're actually working, and as well as look for spelling errors and HTML code errors, which could all affect your deliverability. But last but not least, it gives you some very important spam filter checks, looking at both Spam Assassin and Brightmail and Postini and how Outlook and how your email, how that campaign will actually be treated or scored by those various packages. So you'll be actually give the ability to make some adjustments in that campaign before you send it. All this has the net effect of increasing your deliverability and making sure that you can avoid some of the pitfalls that you fall into when you would try to send to an ISP that's using these various packages.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing that I wanted to talk about and speak to was that ListTrak has been a part of the Bonded Sender program for over a year now. Yeah. And Bonded Sender was another one of the tool sets that went through a name change, now called SenderScore Certified. Peter, I was wondering if maybe you could explain the name change and also speak a little bit about the SenderScore Certified program.
Well, sure. The reason for the name change is that Bonded Sender obviously had served us well, but we've made some changes to the program, primarily as a result of having SenderScore now and looking at much more vector points, data points on a mailer's performance outbound, that we felt that it was really not necessary to maintain a bond any longer for the program. So we have officially dropped the bond requirement for Bonded Sender, and essentially makes the name somewhat a little strange. No bond, or the program formerly known as Bonded Sender. Needless to say, in looking at all these changes and bringing out SenderScore, it was determined that SenderScore Certified was really a very nice name going forward, because it does reflect the fact that we are looking at all these other data points about a mailer's behavior. And as a result, that's what they need to pass in order to be certified into the program. And we felt that it was important to make that change. So that's really the reason behind it. The program, in essence, is essentially the same. There's been some fundamental changes in the fact that we've added new quantitative measurements to the Bonded Sender program. Before, Bonded Sender was primarily based on the use of spam cop complaint data, which had served us very well. But we also decided that through SenderScore that there were things that were referenced in the standard that really had no metric behind it, one of those being having an unsub rate of less than 10%. We now have metrics behind that. We now can test unsubscribes and make sure that they're working and determine if those unsubscribe addresses are being used elsewhere. There are companies out there that measure that. We get a data feed of that, and now that's part of the requirements for Bonded Sender. The other one being is that through our partnership with MSN Hotmail, we now get the actual number of complaints over the actual number of volumes sent into Hotmail, which is very important to understand what your overall complaint rate is into Hotmail, because Hotmail wants to maintain two things. They want to obviously make sure that the mail coming from the SenderScore Certified now program meets a certain percentage for complaint rates over volume, as well as they also want to look at the overall number of complaints. Far too often, mailers would like to know some kind of reference point, some kind of percentage that I have to meet or be under in order to not get filtered a given ISP. Unfortunately, what they don't know is that sometimes the ISPs change that for a given volume. Case in point, a low volume mailer in the program is doing less than 500,000 messages a month, or actually allowed a 2.8% complaint rate into Hotmail. But if you were to then use that 2.8% complaint rate into Hotmail at a mailer that's doing 100 million, now you're looking at a significant number of complaints. And so Hotmail not only wants to look at the actual complaint rate, but it also wants to look at the total number of complaints. And so what we now do in, again, SenderScore Certified, I have to pause myself, I'm sorry, because it is really that new, that we are now having quantitative metrics that a mailer needs to adhere to, and they're given data through the program so they can actually work on those metrics. We help them set up feedback loops with AOL and MSN Hotmail, as well as some other proprietary feedback loops, as well as give them some more information about how their unsubscribes is working and those kinds of things. All this in an effort not only to just improve their performance for SenderScore Certified, but also to improve their performance across the board.
Well, we surely have enjoyed being a member of the Bonded Sender and now SenderScore Certified program. And Brent, I was wondering maybe if I could ask you, as the creative director here at ListTrak, how being a part of the SenderScore Certified program has helped your job in terms of deliverability testing out at some of the ISPs such as MSN and Hotmail.
Well, I can tell you one client specifically I can think of that, I mean, we used to spend hours sitting there tweaking, reworking, resending, and just trying to get it into the box. You know, sometimes it just wouldn't even show up. But I know as soon as we switched to the system, it was just there. It was great. It just it just reduced our time drastically as far as actually getting it into the inbox, making sure making sure that it was there and it was delivered.
I think one of the things that we learned from Peter today was, even beyond getting into MSN and Hotmail, the other real benefit of being a member of the CenderScore certified program is that it's also part of the Spam Assassin rule set, which Peter, by default, Spam Assassin is giving CenderScore certified mailers a value of negative
4.3.
So you're already starting at a negative 4.3, which is almost guaranteeing you delivery into the inbox through any ISP that's protecting their inboxes via Spam Assassin.
In fact, that's exactly it. And far too often, I think, as we discussed earlier, far too often folks look at the value of the program just being MSN Hotmail when it's far beyond that. Spam Assassin, as you know, is probably one of the most popular content-based spam filters that are out there, that's used by, I believe the number is somewhere around 20 to 25,000 ISPs worldwide, and I continually get queries from all over the world for mailers through the Bond Center whitelist, through the CenderScore whitelist. It's going to take me forever to do that through the program. So I'm seeing actually ISPs from all over the world that use the program. Very popular, and understanding fully that MSN Hotmail and the larger ISPs are very important. But also so are some of the smaller ISPs, because you know that their subscriber there is actually paying $19.95 for that account and is actually paying attention to it. So the Spam Assassin is actually a very valuable asset of the program, as well as some of the B2B footprint that we rarely get a chance to talk about. You know, far too often, as we discussed before, we're focused on just B2C to delivery. And yes, we have quite a fair number of ISPs that participate in Bond and Center. I'm going to just go with it because I just can't change it. But through our association with IronPort, which we were essentially incubated before we moved over to ReturnPath, we are on board their system, which is they have something called a reputation filter, and that makes a decision on inbound email based upon the reputation of the mailer. And that actually represents about 18% of the Fortune 1000 and about 12% of the Global 2000 at this point. That's probably about 250 million mailboxes. So in addition to the B2C footprint that we have, we also have a very robust B2B footprint. Thank you very much for your comments about your improved delivery in MSN Hotmail. It's obviously very important to a lot of mailers. MSN Hotmail can be somewhat daunting. I do like to stress that it's very difficult for us as a whitelist service to guarantee you access into Hotmail. If someone gets into the program yet creates very high complaint rates and or creates mails trap addresses into that, now through these new metrics, we'll find that out early and be able to identify that as being a problem. Net gain of all of this is very important for the program, and I think very important for the mailer to get this data back to make some real hard decisions about its content and sending and how your subscribers are reacting to it.
Well, again, Peter, we on behalf of Brent and myself, we want to really thank you again for your comments today. I think that ReturnPath has been a stellar member of the email community, and they continue to do so. And we wish you continued luck and success with the CenderScore certified platform as we go through. So I'll pass it back to you, Brent.
All right. Well, just a small note of news for ListTrack. We launched our ListTrack video tour this week on our website. So if you go to listtrack.com and from any page, you can click view a ListTrack tour and get a quick video tour of the system. As usual, if you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to hear us talk about in the show, you can email us at podcast@listtrack.com. I want to thank you for subscribing, and I want to thank Ross for being here with us again, and Peter McDonald for coming by, and we'll talk to you next time.